Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because Christ lives, all my fear is gone. And now I know. And life is worth the living just because he lives. God sent his son. They call Jesus. He came to die. Oh yes, heal and forgive. Oh,
he bled and died. He bled and died.
Oh, God, my pardon. Oh, an empty grave. Because he lives, because he lives. All my fears are gone, all my fear is gone.
Desire.
worship you, and I long to worship you, Lord.
And I long to worship you.
I long to worship you, Lord.
And I long to worship you.
To worship you,
Lord, and I long,
oh, to worship you,
oh,
and I long
to worship you.
We long to worship you, Lord. We long to worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
One thing I desire. Oh, yes. One thing I seek, to gaze upon your beauty, oh, your majesty, God of all, God of salvation.
Lifter of my head,
He's the lifter of my head.
Oh, teach me, Lord,
teach me how to live, oh, in your righteousness.
Oh, I pray,
so I pray,
oh, to you,
Lord, I pray to you, Lord,
so I pray
to you.
Sing, I pray to you, Lord,
I pray to you, Lord,
so I pray
to you,
Lord, I pray to you, Lord.
So I pray
to you.
Sing it again.
I pray to you, Lord.
So I pray.
I pray
to you, Lord.
I pray to you, Lord.
So I pray
to your name.
It's higher than the heavens,
oh Lord,
Lord, your name
is higher than all
created
things.
It's higher than hope,
it's higher than
dream, oh,
the name.
Lord, your name,
Lord, your name,
it is higher,
it's higher than the heavens,
it's higher,
Lord, your name,
oh,
it's higher than the
created
thing,
oh,
it's higher than
hope.
It's higher than dreams.
The name of the Lord,
higher than hope.
It's higher than hope.
It's higher than
the dreams.
The name
of On my way here, I was listening to NPR, and this famous astrophysicist, Neil deGrasse Tyson, was talking about, the Earth and the fact that, in some years to come, and hopefully in his lifetime, we might discover that there is life somewhere else. There's a form of life in our cosmos, and so on and so forth. He kept going on and on and on, and then he mentioned that the maker of Tesla, Elon Musk, is also looking to colonize Mars, so that the human race can continue in Mars, so that if some catastrophic event should wipe out this Earth that we're on, there'll be another race in Mars that we can all kind of go and join them over there. And it amazes me that when there seems to be finality, in terms of when science gets to a point where they think they've brought a finality to something, and telling everybody that there are 9 planets, that you learn from school all throughout that there are 9 planets, and you get to a point and they tell you that there are no longer 9 planets, so it seems to me that constantly things are changing, and it's almost as if, the way I see it, it changes and it keeps coming towards what, as a Christian, what I've always believed, that there is a higher power who controls the affairs of man. There is a higher power who controls everything that we and that there is eternity. There's something else out there that this life that we have, that is not all there is to it. And so it amazes me every time I hear things of that nature. And it is my prayer. That, as they continue to seek so-called knowledge, the ultimate of it is that they will come to realize that there is only one true God, and his name is Jehovah, Yahweh himself. And he sent his only begotten son to the earth to die on our behalf. And that the only way that we can establish communication with him is through his son, Jesus Christ. May that be your assurance this evening, even as we invite upstage our Reverend Gilbert Asama to continue the powerful preaching in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for your blessing, the blessing of knowing you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. We pray that we shall continue to grow in the supernatural as your Holy Spirit has taken us on a school of the Spirit. And our lives are getting transformed as we are becoming more and more in touch with our supernatural heritage. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We thank the Lord. You may take your seats. So we are starting a new series. Basically, same topic, but Brother Rasmus, this is going to be a new title. How to experience the supernatural. Hallelujah. How to experience the supernatural. We are going to start by reading Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, and we will take it from verses 24 to 34. How to experience the supernatural. The Bible is a very supernatural book. And if we read the Bible more, how many know we will become more supernatural? I heard of a certain man of God called Smith Wigglesworth. I heard that whenever he was traveling, he took nothing else apart from the usual personal affairs, that he read no other book but the Bible. Hallelujah. The Bible alone. And I also heard from about Papa Hagen that when he was traveling, he took only the Bible and I think Smith Wigglesworth's book. Amen. Are you with me? If we read the Bible more and more, it would help us filter out the nonsense that the world packages as truth. Pilate asked Jesus one question and he didn't wait to get the answer. Then he walked out and went to talk to the Jewish elders. He asked Jesus, "What is truth?" Hallelujah. Unfortunately, Pilate didn't wait for the answer. It's like somebody meeting you in the hallway and say, "How you doing?" usually they are not really interested in how you are doing. But it's just a formality. How you do, and then they keep moving. Amen. So, Mark chapter 5. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Hallelujah. You know, this is the account of someone who had come to make a request. I believe it was Jairus, whose daughter was sick. Amen. And had come to beg Jesus to come and pray for his daughter. So whilst they were on the way to Jairus' house, this is what happened. A certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. Amen. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. This is the picture of the diminishing returns that is in the world. Hallelujah. Everything in the world tends to get into a worse and worse state. That is the natural flow. When we are studying about the supernatural, it means that we must be prepared for a reversal of the natural order. Hallelujah. Yeah, so this woman's experience, many of us are going through not the same type of condition, but the fact that, you know, it says that she has spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. It's like the natural solutions, it comes to a point where it doesn't get better, it gets worse and worse. But there is something that can contradict and be a contrasting force against the natural force. Amen. Okay, back to 27. When she heard about Jesus, we are reading this passage because it is like a set piece for how to experience the supernatural. Hallelujah. It has a lot of the things we are going to talk about in it. You know, it's like a soccer coach, you know, they usually have different set pieces that they have pre-programmed that if this happens, this is how we plan on scoring. Hallelujah. Yeah, so the people in the thing, they know themselves. So this account of this woman's story is an account of whenever you read something in the Bible, please expect for it to happen to you. Amen. I mean, if we have no expectation that it can happen to us, then we are wasting our time. Amen. I mean, are we expecting something supernatural to happen to us? I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I said, I'm going to give you all an assignment that everybody should strive to experience what we are talking about. Experience supernatural. Quiet yourself and expect to hear from God. So I'm going to be calling people randomly, not publicly, but one-on-one interviews. What do you think, Sister Sophia? Yeah. Yeah, because I have to see fruit. Brother Nicholas, what do you think? I mean, I've been standing here and talking and talking. I have to expect fruit. Amen. Look, I have a lot of faith in you. I have a lot of faith, Brother Eugene. I actually believe that what I'm saying is going to happen. I'm not doing it because it's Tuesday and we are coming to church. No, at all. I'm actually expecting results. Amen. Yes. I have that confidence that the preaching is like sowing seeds. And as a farmer sowing seeds, I am expecting a harvest. Yeah. So, back to Mark 5. Okay. So, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. So stop there. So you can see clearly that, I mean, who is writing this account? John Mark, okay. I mean, John Mark is not the woman, right? So you can see clearly that after Christ died and resurrected, perhaps they were collecting accounts of events and testimonies. Like the way a healing Jesus crusade, you see, you know, prophetess Olivia and LPBD and other people interviewing people. Do you understand? And then they will bring the person and then they'll come and testify. So this woman gave her testimony. That is how Mark ended up writing it. Hallelujah. Because he said that she felt in her body. I mean, if you are man, how can you feel what she's feeling in her body? Hallelujah. That she was healed of the affliction. So remember, we talked about how the supernatural gets into our organs of perception. She felt in her body, the supernatural had to transcend into the physical realm for her to feel something. Amen. All right. Verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Amen. "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. He was very confident that somebody had drawn power from her. Amen. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Amen. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Hallelujah. All right. So this is an account of a healing that happened, a supernatural encounter. Because, you know, all the human solutions had not worked. And something happened to her in this account, which there's no other explanation except that a force or a power from another dimension had entered her and healed her. Amen. So how to experience the supernatural? That's the topic. How to experience the supernatural? The first step is to have faith in the existence of the supernatural. Hallelujah. To have faith in the existence of the supernatural. All the past few weeks, when we've been talking about supernatural power, the natural and the supernatural, the whole point, the whole idea, the whole purpose was to bring us to this first point here. Hallelujah. What is the first point? Have faith in the existence of the supernatural. That is the first step. That is the first. It's like the knowledge of the supernatural to know that it is also one of the things that exists. Hallelujah. Have faith in the existence of the supernatural. If you don't have faith in the existence of the supernatural, there's no way you are going to participate in the supernatural. So consider all the past 4 weeks, what we've been studying, to bring us to this position that you actually have faith that the supernatural exists. Hallelujah. Are you following the message? You see, this woman, the Bible says something, she heard something. Which verse? "When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole.'" Amen. You see, when she had heard of Jesus, so what did she hear about Jesus? Jesus is from Galilee, and Jesus is a prophet going around preaching. She believed very strongly that for her to say, "If only I may touch his clothes," she's seen the clothes as what? Supernatural clothes. She's expecting something. It's like, and the next verse says, this verse, "If only I may touch his clothes," she said. Some translations say, she kept on saying, "If only I may touch his clothes." In other words, the tense in the Hebrew or the Aramaic or the Greek is like the tense is such that it's continuing. Hallelujah. It's just like the scripture in Ephesians where it says that, you know, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That one is said be filled. In the English, it's translated as be filled. But in the original language of the Bible, it's like a play on the continuous tense. It's like be being filled. Do you understand? It's like something that is ongoing. So the same idea here, she said, "If only I may." So it looks like as she was going, she was saying it to herself. Amen. If only I may. It's not a single thought that just crossed her mind. It's like she's been thinking about it. Why? Because she believed in the existence of the supernatural. She believed that encounter with Jesus, something was about to happen. A great deal of how to experience the supernatural. A great deal is basically your expectation. Hallelujah. It's basically your expectation. It's like what you expect is what you are going to get. If you don't have any expectation, then the thing can happen around you all the time, but you will not feel anything. Amen. Are you following? So the first step in how to experience the supernatural is you must have faith in the existence of the supernatural.
And you must know that. You see, that means that your mind that you use to analyze things must be suspended. Hallelujah. That is why Bishop said, a lady came. I forgot what her condition was. Something gynecological. I think she couldn't have a baby or something to do with her womb. And I think this woman's womb had been removed. Yeah. I think her womb had been removed. And she came for a miracle crusade. And I think sometime later, she came to testify that she was pregnant. Amen. And Bishop Dark is the man of God. Okay? The man of God who prayed for her. But Bishop Dark said his doctor mind, he, the man of God, the preacher, his doctor mind took over. And he began to analyze that how is that possible that this woman whose womb had been removed because of some ailment, why is she standing here telling me that she's pregnant? Do you understand? Because you see, doctors, they study the human body into great detail. So he began to analyze the things that, I mean, so have you ever had a situation where you are telling somebody a story and then they are looking at your face? They are not saying anything, but the look on their face tells you that they are not believing what you are saying. Have you seen that situation before? Yeah. It's like. So the woman got angry. The woman who was telling the story, she said, I too am a doctor. I am also a doctor. And I am telling you that my womb had been removed, but now I am pregnant. So if we are talking about doctor man, scientific man, we are all on the same page. So you better believe. Amen. Amen. Which means that even as you are talking about the supernatural, if a man of God, a miracle healing evangelist, can sometimes, even at some point, he was beginning to have second thoughts. It means that it can happen to all of us. So this idea of have faith in the existence of the supernatural, don't think that, oh, that's obvious. I mean, of course, I believe in God. I believe in the existence of the supernatural. But what happens is that when a specific case arises where you have to now think about the situation, think about the circumstance, where logically there's nothing that seems to, anything at all, any good possibility can come out of this. That thought process, we have to put that aside. We have to put that aside and say, look, what we are talking about here is not about logical analysis or what the natural sequence of things. It's like faith in the supernatural. There's faith in the supernatural for different things. Hallelujah. Amen. But in the specific instance where you need the supernatural to, you must have faith, more faith in the supernatural than any other thing that is before you. Amen. Amen. Are you listening to me? Yeah. So, like one man of God, he was trying to get into full-time ministry. He didn't have income. And he didn't have money to buy peanut butter. Peanut butter happens to be one of his favorite things in his bread. And so one day he was praying and he was saying, oh God, how nice it would be to have peanut butter. And he said that. And the Lord said, I can provide. But how is he going to provide it? He didn't have any partners. Today he has a lot of partners. But at that time, he didn't have any partners who make monthly contributions. And his wife was also a Christian. But you see, women, they worry more than the men. Both of them were believing God. But the woman kept on asking, so is he here? Is what we are believing God, is he here now? She said, I say, believe it's happening. But after he calmed the woman down, he would go back and then bargain with God. Lord, please show up because the way things are happening. So when the Lord said, I'll provide, then something said, go to the door. I think it wasn't the same day. The next day, he goes to the door and there's peanut butter sitting behind the door. Why did that happen? He said, I didn't want to question where it came from. I knew that it came from God. Because what are the chances that anybody knows he's looking for peanut butter? Nobody knows. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's the first step. Believe in the existence of the supernatural. And the more and more we are able to think, which means that we have to actually meditate. You see, faith comes by hearing. Is that not so? And hearing is in the word of God, from the word of God. But we have to meditate on it until it becomes more real. The supernatural realm becomes more real to us
than what we are faced with. Hallelujah. Because everything we are faced with is what talks to us. And if it is louder than what the promise of God is, you are not likely to believe what the supernatural is saying. Amen. So if we want to experience the supernatural, we must spend a great deal of our time reading about it. I forgot to mention that Papa Hagen, he said he carried books on faith, his Bible, books on faith, books on healing, and books on the anointing. Those are the books he carried. I mean, why is it that you are traveling, that there's not a single supernatural anything on you? Amen. Even in church, God only knows when people are looking at their phone, whether it's the Bible they are reading. Amen. What I'm saying is that this knowledge of the supernatural, it can become more like second nature, like part and parcel of you. If you think about it, you read about it all the time. Because you see, what is weighing on our hearts, it's not that it's by choice. We grew up in this naturalistic world. And to be able to deviate and part with it, it's very hard. Something that you are so used to all the time, it's very hard. The only thing is that we have to make a deliberate decision that I will spend more time, for instance, read the gospel, read the miracles of Jesus. And when you read it, try to bring yourself into the passage. Try to imagine that if Jesus was here, where would he be? What mountain would he be preaching on? Let's not read the Bible anymore as a historical document. Let's read it as alive, that the word is alive. The more we immerse ourselves in the supernatural things in the Bible, and the more we imagine that it is real. Hallelujah. Because you see, you need to read it with your imagination and your emotion. Let it affect you. As you think about it more and more, when you see a similar situation, you will see that there is strength even to pray about it. Hallelujah. What I'm saying is that we need a little bit more effort in our reading of the supernatural accounts in order for us to for it to become more real to us than anything else we are seeing. Hallelujah. Amen. Have faith in the existence of the supernatural. The second, what's the topic again? How to experience the supernatural. Step number one, have faith in the existence of the supernatural. And then the second point is, have faith in supernatural methods. Hallelujah. Supernatural methods. So, supernatural exists, but there are methods of its delivery. Hallelujah. There are methods of this delivery. So you must have faith in supernatural methods. God may seek to manifest the supernatural through a particular method, but if you don't have faith in that method, you are not going to benefit from it. Hallelujah. So you must have faith in all the supernatural methods that God uses to manifest the supernatural. And the first method, today we probably have time to talk about, maybe one and a half. The first method is what? The spoken word. It's a supernatural method. Hallelujah. It is a supernatural method. The spoken word. Psalm 107 verse 20. The spoken word is a supernatural method. You see, medicine, right? Medicine is the antidote to sickness that natural man knows. Is that not so? You will notice that there are some medicines that have multiple methods of delivery. Amen. There are some medicines that you can take orally. Amen. There are some medicines, sometimes that same medicine can be, you can take it orally, but there's another version of which where they put it in a capsule. Amen. It's also oral, but it's wrapped in a plastic. That's another method of delivery. There are some that are given by injection. Amen. There are some which they give it to you through where? Your nose. Amen. Through your vein. All these are methods. Hallelujah. And there may be a reason why a particular method is used over another method. Amen. And so the great physician, our great God, he also has supernatural methods. And you and I need to cooperate with him. And we need to know that, okay, where do we find this supernatural method? Well, the Bible is our source.
We are just reading, okay, what are the ways in which the supernatural have manifested? And so we are learning about it so that if that is the case, it is a precedent for us. So maybe in my life, this method can also work. Hallelujah. Because knowing about the supernatural is one thing, but how is it going to be delivered to me in my present situation? The spoken word. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Hallelujah. The very, very powerful supernatural method is the word of God. The word, the very word of God, the spoken word, the declared word. Even when it comes to healing, he said, he sent his word and healed them. Hallelujah. He sent his word and healed them. The word of God, when it is spoken, carries within it a capsule of supernatural element. Hallelujah. One of the things we must understand is the word of God doesn't just contain information. No, it does not just contain information. It carries with it the full domain of heaven, the full domain of God. And you and I, you see, I am seeking to know more about the word because I realize that everything is in the word. Amen. You and I need to actually see the word of God in a higher dimension than we have seen it. Are you listening to me? The Bible said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Amen. The logos. It's like, and then elsewhere it says that the word became flesh, John 1:14. Amen. And then it also says in Hebrews and Colossians, both in chapter 1, it says that the word of God or Jesus is the full expression of God. Amen. So in other words, if we would like to see the full expression of God, it is the word. And any situation where we need supernatural hand of God, there is a word of God about it. I mean, think about how God created the whole world. It was with his word. The Bible said that the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the deep, and God said, let there be light. So it seems like if you consider John chapter 1 and Revelation, Genesis chapter 1. If you see, because it seems like John chapter 1 is like, keep in mind that in Genesis chapter 1, we are talking about the creation. Is that not so? In John chapter 1, we are talking about the new creation. So there's a parallel here. You can see clearly that John is trying to cast his gospel in the language of Genesis. That is why the Genesis begins by, in the beginning, God created. And then in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the word. Hallelujah. And then it says, if you come down, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. Through him, all things were made. And there was nothing that was made that was not made without the word. Hallelujah. Then it says, in him was what? Life. Zoe. Life. That life is the quality of God's life. In the word was life. Amen. Look, before the fall, death had not entered into the world. Death was not even in the vocabulary. So if we are talking about supernatural, the original life of Adam and Eve was supernatural life. Are you there? In him was Zoe, in him was life, and the life was the light of the world. So in Genesis 1, when it said, God said, let there be light. God's word spoke light. That light was life. It's like, it seems like if the word is life, it seems like God made a copy of himself and projected it into the creation. It's like, when he said, let there be light, because God himself is light. Okay? So when he said, let there be light, his word created light. You see, the amazing thing, Brother Francis, is that the sun and the moon had not yet been invented, had not yet been created. So when God said, let there be light, it was not the sun's light he was talking about. That came a few verses later. Actually, the sun and the moon, I think they were made on the fourth day. So that let there be light wasn't the sun or the moon or the stars. No. It was a light force or a life force coming from God. But it was delivered by what? By speaking. It was delivered by speaking. Hallelujah. Now, this same life force through which the whole universe is held together, that is God's word. Amen. We are going to read one account in Luke, of how Jesus healed somebody with his word. Amen. I believe that we have not made much of the word, Brother Nicholas. I believe that we are still learning what the word of God really is. Amen. We are still learning what really is in the word of God, because I think there's a lot more. Probably we are at 0.001% of our ability to appreciate the word. One man of God had the vision of Isaiah. Okay, Isaiah the prophet. He appeared to a certain preacher. And where did I say we were going? Luke chapter 7. So I will say that and then we'll read that passage. Luke 7 verse 1. So he said, when Isaiah appeared, he told Isaiah, look, Isaiah, I love your book. I love the book of Isaiah. But can you say something to me now? Because you are in the cloud of witnesses. I mean, can you make a declaration of something that you think the Father, the Spirit is saying? Isaiah said, I will say nothing else but something from the book of Isaiah. Amen. He said, what is written is more powerful than what you need. But he said, when Isaiah, I forgot which part of Isaiah was reading. He said, when Isaiah began to speak, he said, it came with a force like a waterfall, like a force of water being gushed at you. Are you there? Do you know water can be a very powerful force? Yeah, I mean, water can even toss very heavy vehicles around. He said, when Isaiah spoke, he said that force came from his mouth. It came and pushed him. It lifted him from one place and threw him against the wall. That man of God, in the visionary encounter. And then Isaiah told him, that is the power in the word of God, which many have not yet discovered. But it is time for us to discover the power in the word. Luke chapter 7, verse 1. Okay. We are talking about supernatural methods. Believe in supernatural methods. And the first supernatural method we are reading about is the spoken word. Hallelujah. So Luke 7 and verse 1. Now when he concluded all he said in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. Amen. Okay. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. The centurion is like a Roman general or captain in charge of, I think, 100 soldiers or so. So that centurion was a Roman, not a U.S., not an Israeli, a Roman citizen. A certain centurion who was a servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. Hallelujah. So that means that he believed in the existence of supernatural. Hallelujah. He believed that Jesus Christ was a carrier of the supernatural. And since he was not a Jew, he knows that he doesn't have any standing before Jesus. Because keep in mind, Jesus came primarily to the Jewish nation. It's like an unbeliever asking you, pray for me. Because he himself doesn't have a relationship with God. Amen. People who don't go to church, when you are going to church, it's, when you go pray for us. Amen. Have you heard that before? Yeah. So he asked the Jewish elders to go and ask Jesus, come and heal his servant. He must really love the servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving. So the Jewish elders began to argue and present a case that this is not an Israelite person, it's not a Jew. But there is something that makes him deserve a miracle from God. Hallelujah. And one day, okay, so verse 5. For he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. It's an unusual centurion because David, the Romans, not all of them were bad. This is a good Roman. Do you understand? Because most of the movies we have seen, Romans in their writing, they are killing people, they are doing all kinds of wild things. But this is a good Roman centurion who has built a church for the community. Amen. Amen. And loves the nation of Israel. So the people are now arguing and begging for him. This is, if you won't do anything for, at least he loves God, he loves the church, he loves the nation. So Jesus went with them. And when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself. For I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. But do what?
Say the word, and my servant will be healed. Hallelujah. For I also am a man placed under authority. So you see, the supernatural method of the spoken word, okay, it is operating out of the authority of the word of God, the authority of the one speaking. The Bible says, where there's a word of a king, there is power. Hallelujah. Now, this Roman centurion understands hierarchy and structure. Because in the army, if your sergeant tells you something, it's not about how you feel, you have to follow it. But if a higher official comes, higher than the sergeant, you have to defer to the higher official. Is that not so, my brother? And so this centurion, he said, I am also what? Under, I am placed under authority. I have soldiers under me. Amen. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. This man gave us a window of understanding what is going on in the realm of the spirit. This is a Roman general using military and language to describe to us what happens when the word of God is declared and spoken. Authority. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. This is the one place Jesus is testifying about somebody's faith. Look, if you have a professor who is a guru in something and he praises your work, are you following? It means that you too, you are there. Amen. For Jesus, who himself is God, who himself is operating in this like easily, and now he's acknowledging the way the man understood power and authority. And that, look, say, just say something. Just your words are enough. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus praised him. Verse 10. And those who were sent, returning to the house, found a servant well who had been sick. So this man believed in the spoken word as a supernatural method. And he believed that, look, I actually did not need you to come to my house. I only needed you to find out about the problem. Like, let the Jewish elders come and tell you, and then after that, just say something. Just say it. And that alone is enough. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus called this the highest faith. It means that the greatest level of faith probably is when we can connect to the word of God without the use of props and other things. Amen. If somebody is a very good actor, a very good actor can do a one-man monologue, change his voice into all the other characters. If there's the need for an article on stage, he can improvise with his body postures. Such a person is considered a very great actor. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, if you and I can come to a point of seeing that, look, the highest level of faith is actually embrace the word of God, what the word of God is saying. The power of the spoken word. Now, in this case, Jesus spoke those words. Now, that Jesus is in you. Amen. This Jesus is in you. What's his name? Papa Hagan had a statement he used to make. He said that there's a verse in 1 John that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But Papa Hagan used to ask, what is he doing in there? If the greater one is in you, what is he doing in there? Hallelujah. He must be speaking. In other words, you must speak the words that Jesus would have said if he was here. And the spoken word of this man, of Jesus, was able to rectify the situation. That supernatural method is often ignored. But I want all of us to actually begin to look at the word of God as higher than any other authority or power. Hallelujah. And if an unbeliever centurion could actually understand, if you forget anything, remember what he said, I am also a person under authority. If I am able to give a command and they obey, I believe that you, your words, I don't think there is anything that can stand in front of your words. Put your hands together unto the Lord. We thank the Lord. Let's rise up. Let's take out an offering. Father, we want to thank you
Thank you for training us. Thank you for bringing to our knowledge that the power of the spoken word is a very powerful supernatural method. Help us that we can grow to the point of walking in this type of authority. And we give to you our gifts in honor of your word. May you bless it and sanctify it in the name of Jesus. Amen.